Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
8 o'clock hours. We try to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, your home of America's team. We got a 9 a.m. pregame on Sunday with the crew, then Brad and Babe, and then postgame, bookended by Brian Broaddus, the birthday boy. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. And this weekend is going to include the KMC Masterpiece today at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford, and then us tomorrow in Fort Worth at Martin House.
Martin House Brewing, right there, basically at 121 and 35 W. It's going to be fun. We have a little roundtable action.
Yeah, I think it said Sean and Mike, and I was like, who's Mike? Who's Mike in the building?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Because it's not going to be Mike Bassett, that's for sure.
No way.
No, I don't envision that it's going to be Mike
Bassett. Right? No. Of course, they had Bobby on there as well. I guess Tim, with his emails, doesn't read Bobby's travel schedule. So the reading works both ways, I guess, because Bobby was on there for the roundtable.
Remotes promote.
And you're not going to be there because you're going to be flying to Carolina.
I'm going to be in North Carolina, Charlotte. So I will not be there, unfortunately. And that does bum me out because I ran into the Martin House Brewing folks leaving Jared's event. And they were telling us, they're like, oh, big fans of the morning show. We're told us, but big fans of the morning show. Love y'all.
Here's what I would like to ask of all the Tolos who join us in Fort Worth tomorrow. I would appreciate each person holding my child for about 10 minutes apiece. I would appreciate that. That would keep her out of my hair. I can have the cold glass in hand. Amanda can worry about Ollie. And then I think I'm going to bring both kids out there. Ava can be watched. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. About 12 of them should be good to go. Back in the crib, or back in the carriage, back in the car.
How do they compare as babies?
My Dion rankings is a blowout. Ava's Travis. Ava is Travis, and I don't want to crap on any kids. I don't know the ones down on Dion's power rankings, but Ollie was not Shador or Travis. Opposite, Choppy was just saying, you flying home for the holidays? No. Would you trust her on a plane? Hell yeah. He was a nightmare. I mean, had me possibly getting arrested for melatonin distribution.
Oh, yeah, overdosing him?
That's how awful he was. But no, I'd like to bring the kids out, and I'd like to pawn her off on anyone who's got baby fever. Is your girlfriend going out there tomorrow? Well, no, you might ride with Spittle. How about that little suck-up boss move? So Spittle is behind the scenes and make Peyton uncomfortable. We're supposed to get out of a limo. Got my boy Hector. That's the A hat. People are always saying, what's the A you're always wearing on your head on the fan cam? And I'm expecting to get a big gathering here at the station. And then nobody signed up that needed a ride. And Gavin's like, well, I can take you, Peyton. And in that moment, I was waiting to see what Peyton was going to do. When the boss offers you that long, long ride.
It's like, you got to say yes.
And I think it took me 5 or 6 seconds before I said an answer. I think I was like, well,
his exact words, I believe, were, we can if you want to.
Yeah, we can.
That's what he said.
Do that.
So
I got to figure out if I'm bringing the kids or not. I don't know.
How are you getting there?
Well, you know, I kind of had maybe have plans afterwards with friends, so I think that's my buyout here. I gotta take my car because I gotta go hang out with friends at Fort Worth.
Where?
Probably the casino.
He's making this up. He's making up his bailout.
Yeah,
that was quick. That was a quick enough answer.
It was quick. That was good. It was well thought out, though. Okay. I have to have a second plan, and then the choppies may be coming out.
Well, I have the kids this weekend, so I don't want to leave them at home for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So that's always the question, because they will get into nothing good. They will get into nothing good if they are just left alone.
Well, are you going to bring Pudge? Because didn't you say Pudge will tear everything up if he's left alone?
No, he's fine.
Spittle is listening, unfortunately, for Peyton. And then he said, it is Bassick. He will be there. Holy mackerel.
Wow.
Me and Bassick on a round table together.
Must be trying to sell cards to listeners or something.
Panthers, Cowboys, Sunday, 9 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow. Martin House today. Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford with KMC. The five things RJ Choppy wants to see.
Number one, keep Bryce in the pocket. You know, Babe said it yesterday. He's 5'10". It's hard to see in the pocket when you're 6'3". Keep him in the pocket. He's so poised. He's so much better when he's able to move. Number two, do not forget about Rico. 7 yards a carry or whatever it was last week. If he doesn't get 20 touches against this defense, you're missing the point. And you're missing out on some Rico, baby.
What was the article that you had or the changes that Rico Dowdle
focused on? Tommy Yarish from DallasCowboys.com had an article up after he had talked to Rico Dowdle about just the different changes that he had. Rico has not...
Spittle said, we wish Peyton well in his future endeavors.
Rico has actually had an injury that has caused him to miss a game or more every year for the last 8 years. Going back to his time, even at South Carolina.
Oh, it's like he's been in the Cowboys 8 years?
Every single year at South Carolina, he missed time due to injury. His first 4 years here in Dallas, he missed time due to injury. He's missed a game this year, but it was just for an illness. So he's got a health streak that he's never had in his career. And they talked about, what are some of the different things you're doing? And so he said that he really changed up his approach with just talking about his eating. He said he cut out a lot of the red meat. He's really reduced that. He said he cut out pork completely, eating a lot more chicken, doing a lot of different things with cardio and recovery and different things like that. That he basically was like taking it seriously as, hey, I might get an opportunity to really carry the ball this year, and I got to make sure my body's prepared, and it's paying off.
I can't see myself cutting out pork.
Really?
I like pork. Good pork chop. Love a good pork chop. I don't have it every week.
You don't have it every week.
But it's like a special occasion.
I could see it, man.
Couldn't even tell you the last time I had a pork chop.
Pork is pretty bland. A great pork chop is great.
Yeah, especially if it's like a little medium rare, on top.
Little pink.
Yep,
pink in there, which people are gonna be afraid of.
Yeah, you get a little double. What's it called? What are those things? Double bone in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh baby.
Yeah.
Love that your mind went
absolutely
double bone right after.
DB.
Deep. Number three, I want to see Trey Lance. I know. The moment AO touched that ball on the block and the game was over, I was like, all right, it's Trey Lance time for the rest of the year.
Stand by it.
I stand by that comment, too. Number four, speaking of AO, give him another chance.
And I disagree with Laufenberg, by the way. I don't know that we see Trey start a game. Maybe it's the final game.
Yeah.
I think they're worried about embarrassment.
I agree.
I think they're worried about getting made fun of for giving up a fourth-round pick based on what they've seen from him in practice. Because there's zero reason right now. Well, I guess you can be technically eliminated. Okay? Like, right now there's 99% no reason to play him. I guess once you're technically eliminated, you definitely do not have a reason.
No.
I don't think they'll do it.
I don't either. But here, I guess, one game left, 2 games left, whatever. I want to see it either way. But I agree with what you're saying. Like, they don't want to embarrass themselves or him necessarily.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, what if he goes out there? What are the chances that they sign him to next year?
Not likely. I don't.
So think. Like that would be the embarrassment anyway. Like you traded a fourth round pick 18 months prior, or 2 years prior.
Well, we didn't get a chance to show him off because we were still trying to win games. About the culture.
Yeah,
about the culture.
You saw enough that you didn't re-sign him. But anyway, number four is another chance for AO. Screw it, man. Block kicks, block these punts. Let it, you know, get, when this team does good things on special teams this year, they've won the games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally they've won the games except for last week. And then finally, number five, make anyone beat you on this Carolina team except for Chuba Hubbard. Anybody but Chuba. Make them beat you.
Is that ABC?
ABC, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not even intended. Well done.
I love Xavier Leggett, but, I mean, he can't catch. He can't catch. So
Xavier Leggett, when we were talking
about... catch raccoons.
Yes, he can.
When we were talking about those go routes earlier, last hour, Xavier Leggett this year is 0 for 10 on go route targets. He has not been good.
I love this from Blogging the Boys. This is brilliant. Here are this week's Dallas Cowboys routine guides. Two versions. Team playoffs and team tank. Choose your adventure. If you are still hoping for the playoffs, you want the Rams to beat San Fran. Check.
Check.
Saints over Washington. New England over Arizona. Chargers over Bucks. Packers over Seattle. Raiders over Falcons. If you are team tank like myself, you want the Cowboys to lose to Carolina. Cleveland over Kansas City. Giants over Ravens. Patriots over Cards. Raiders over... I'm just going to stop reading it because there's a lot of things that are not going to happen on there. But there is a team tank versus team playoffs from Blogging the Boys. Yeah. I love it.
Outside of Browns beating the Chiefs, like the rest of that is just absurd. Like, why it doesn't even make sense to mention it.
All right, Bob, you already gave it away. I think if we had to accumulate records of predictions this year, you might be up by one or two on the Cowboy picks. Well, you're certainly leading the way in blowouts of whether it's going to be double digits. You don't go soft like Cowboys can lose by six, Cowboys can lose by seven. You've caught a lot of the blowouts, so you can start with Cowboys Panthers on the Fan and what happens.
Yeah, I am picking Carolina, and it's not any sort of just... I do think Dallas has improved. It's not any sort of just like Dallas is so bad kind of thing. This was when I first started looking at Carolina, I anticipated thinking Dallas was going to win this game, just like we all picked the Giants or picked them to beat the Giants a couple weeks ago, because Dallas has improved. They played better football. Carolina is just, I think, going to do too many things offensively that stress the Cowboys. And until I consistently see the Cowboys commit to running the ball when they have that advantage and not just lose it for large sections of the game when that's a real advantage for them right now, I can't feel comfortable that they're going to take advantage of it. So I've got the Panthers 24-21 in this one.
Chop.
I think Chuba's out for this game.
What?
His number just got taken off the board. His rush total.
He was not injury-related rest off the injury report.
Literally, I had it in 2 segments ago. I had it in my bet slip. And I just went to go place it, and it wouldn't allow it. And I went back to the rushing props, and he's off.
I mean, he was a full participant at practice yesterday.
Something's going on. I don't know what's going on.
He's with LeBron.
But anyway, because it would make no sense to just take him off the board, right? Nobody else is on.
I'm going to say it's out.
It's probably just they may just be changing.
RJ operator error.
They may just be changing the line. They may just be changing the number. Who knows? I think the Cowboys win this game. I think they win this game like 28-26, 28-27, something like that.
Okay.
I think it's a high-scoring game, higher.
And the over-under is 43.5.
Yeah, so I'm on the over. I think the Cowboys win.
Pepe.
Some from the fan text real quick. Right now it's about 50-50. The 214 and 817 both say 24-21 Cowboys, but you do have some Panthers wins in here. 469 says it's going to be a blowout in favor of Carolina, 27-10 Panthers on top. Look, sometimes you just have to trust Vegas. Sometimes there's a line out there that you're like, you know what? It might seem too good to be true, but I'm believing Vegas in this one. I have the Panthers winning by 3, 20-17.
I would take like $30. Now, depending on what your, what do they call it, bags? Everyone has different bags. Is that the amount that you bet? Stacks?
Units.
Units. They call it units.
Whatever your units.
Bankroll.
Whatever your units are, like I'd take like, you know, one of them. I'd keep it low. Like $30, $40, and I would parlay the Cowboys and the over. I'm going to take the Cowboys in this game like 26-23, something like that. I would feel I feel better about the Cowboys being given 3 points than I do the over. I think the Cowboys win this game by like 3 points as well. I'm going to trust in Mike Zimmer's deep coach is here to make us look right and that he was the correct hire for this team in straightening things out. Cowboys win against the Panthers. I'm really surprised by the point spread.
I am too. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. It's a 3-point spread. Well, it started 1.5. Now it's up to 3. I do not get this one bit.
877-881-1053. In order to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station, softest college football program in America, now making it a felony if you think about planting that flag. College Football Kegger with RJ is next.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Well, if Ohio State never... Oh, my voice cracked there. Good gosh.
Goodness. Puberty came back.
You know, I think I got caught in a burp there, too, at the same time. That's why I went cracked and everything. If Ohio State never beats Michigan again, this is the reason why. Let me introduce you to State Representative Josh Williams. Josh is the state representative in Ohio, and he has introduced the OHIO Sportsmanship Act. And this is in response to Michigan coming on the field after they beat Ohio State for the fourth straight time and planting the flag on the field. And this would be a ban, a flag planting ban, a felony offense.
A felony offense.
This would prohibit planting a flag in the center of Ohio Stadium on the day of a football game. House Bill 700. What a loser this guy is.
What a loser.
What a loser.
What a loser.
What a loser. Now, this is, you would think, if you're an Ohio State senator, that you're going to make this rule in all the stadiums in the state of Ohio. You would be wrong.
Oh, it's just for Columbus?
This is just at Ohio Stadium, or whatever they call it, the horseshoe. You can plant it at Nippert on the University of Cincinnati.
Look, obviously,
more on them in a second.
Obviously, this attention whore did this to get his name on shows like this and in the headlines. I don't think he realizes how soft he makes the entire fan base look, that you want someone locked up and put in jail if they come into your house and beat you. Versus just like accepting it or pushing and shoving back. Yeah. How soft you make the entire program look.
I mean, they pushed and shoved back. That was for sure after the game. But when you look at Michigan went on a run that was similar to this on the reverse. Like Harbaugh almost got fired because he couldn't beat Ohio State.
It happens.
And as you never heard Michigan like crying about anything like this. And Ohio State has been incredibly soft with all of this.
And didn't their AD basically hint? Who's hinting more of their coach coming back? Jerry with McCarthy or their AD and Ryan Day?
Yeah, Ross Bjork said absolutely. He was asked yesterday, they said, do you anticipate he's going to be there? He said, absolutely. Ryan Day is going to be back. And then after that, he said some stuff that I was like, I don't know if that's going to sit well with Ohio State fans. He started talking about, you know, we got to not just make it all about title or bust around here. And you know, we got to make it more about process rather than one game. And there were already some Ohio State fans there going like, excuse me, are you downplaying national championships and the Michigan rivalry? What the hell are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, I mean, he is. I think they are. He's like 47-1 against everybody not named Michigan over the last couple of seasons.
Over the last 4 years, he's undefeated against everybody but Michigan and Oregon.
And Oregon, yeah.
You can justify easily keeping him.
Of course. I mean, he was in the Final Four a couple years ago. They should have won that game against Georgia. They outplayed Georgia in that game. You know, the CJ Stroud game, there was a missed kick.
What's their path look like this year?
That's hard.
I mean,
you got Tennessee. Then if you win, you have Oregon.
Ugh.
And then if you win, you have Texas. And then if you win, you have Georgia.
Oh!
It's a disastrous stretch.
Yeah.
Assuming all those teams make it.
Right, but I mean,
yeah, like Texas.
At the very least.
Yeah, I know. I was actually thinking Texas.
At the very least, Georgia. They will play Tennessee And then if they win, they will play Oregon. So at the very least, they have those two. Those are not easy.
Yeah. I was thinking the AD was showing the support because maybe they had like an early easy draw. And he's like, we're going to be in the semifinals no matter what. But that's tough.
It is tough.
That Michigan loss destroyed them.
Destroyed because they should have been in Penn State's situation. Penn State would have has a much easier. I mean, their route is SMU and then Boise.
Oh.
Right?
God, I hate that.
I don't like it either.
I hate Penn State.
They're not even going to get out of the first round, so don't worry about it.
Speaking of Ohio State, though, their president and AD, Ross Bjork, like you said, they are begging their fans not to sell their tickets to this game to Tennessee fans. Somebody leaked their presale code. It got out. By the way, Ohio State, little bit of advice for you. You might not want to make your pre-sale code OSUFB. Seems a little easy.
Where's the game?
Columbus.
Have you kept researching?
I kind of stopped on it. But, I mean, I could research, but apparently somebody leaked their pre-sale code, and it got out. Like, a bunch of Tennessee fans are buying tickets. They're hoping there's like 30% Tennessee fans there. But, guys, make your code a little more difficult. Than OSUFB.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta trick it up a little bit.
Can't make it too difficult, though.
Yeah, you don't want
to. OSUFB exclamation. I can't. All my passwords are forgotten.
Oh, I know.
I cannot remember my password in this building.
That's what always gets me is that when I have to recreate a password, I just start looking around. I'm like, what's a phrase? All right, there's a phrase, and I'm just going to put symbols in there in place, and then I forget it the next time I go to log in.
It is the college football kegger here on 105 through the fan. The chair of the selection committee is so mad at Brett McMurphy and who the leaker is that he is going to fish out whoever did it. He said that only a select few people knew who it was. The committee knew, so the 12 members. ESPN's individual producer knew.
Yeah.
And the staff at the college football playoff. So like just the top staff. So basically, the two or three people at the top. And Bobby, obviously, you said the other day you thought that he had a relationship with Mike Riley.
Yeah.
He was an Oregon State coach, I think.
Did you guys feel like SMU fans were ticked? Or it was just so euphoric finding out the news they got in over Bama, they didn't care. Like, I didn't care because it was good news for the Mustangs. Or did you haven't seen like specific SMU reactions?
I haven't seen specific. I'll tell you this: like if Tennessee was in the situation that SMU was in, or Alabama, I would have wanted to see it on the screen. I was like,
you would have been thrilled.
I would have been thrilled when that news
broke. Yes. You wouldn't have been mad. I don't think.
No, I would have been. You'd mad. Have been
like, yes, we got in. Heck yeah, relief.
I think if I was Alabama, I'd rather find out the way that they did. But if I was SMU, I wanted to see the things flash up on the screen.
Okay, but then you also,
eruption would have been bigger, but.
Then you're also Florida State, where you throw a big party and then cameras are on.
Yeah. So a lot of schools this year supposedly shut that down, did not have a watch party because of that.
Yeah, SMU specifically was one.
Yeah, look, Brett didn't do anything wrong. I mean, it was he got the scoop. But I do suspect that there might be like is there gonna be legal precedent here against the person that outed this?
This story is gonna die down and week and a half. There's going to be nothing legal about it.
So glad he did it. It's just going to fade away. Just like Jason Kelce smashing a phone. It's the same thing. You're just going to see it just disappear.
He's not getting charged?
Nope, he's not getting charged. They've decided, nope, you're good.
But that came from the courts?
Yeah, they've decided not to charge him. So
wow.
He's good.
Real justice wins. Yep. Street justice.
Street justice.
I support it, even though he called Dallas a butthole the other day. I tried to think of a major insult. Did you just dump me?
Yeah, you can't say that.
Yeah, you can't say that.
You can't say it. We had that happen with Tyler Smith during the draft. He said it, and it had to be dumped because you're not allowed to say it. I know.
Too graphic of a word.
All right, I guess so.
It's been a talk around here. We've been told we can't say it.
Travis Hunter says he's going to get married after he signs his big, after he gets drafted. So it's the wedding is like a month or so after the draft. Now,
there was some clip of her like being really unhappy with him a few weeks ago, walking down on the field.
This was after their last home game, and you could read.
Has he proposed?
Oh, yeah. You could read her lips, and she says, I saw you smile at those cheerleaders. And not happy with that. Not happy. Mm. And there's a lot of people that are like, dude, God, remember Godfrey, the comedian?
Yeah, I know him.
Godfrey, the comedian, we used to have him in here a lot. He was like, he had like a 5-minute TikTok. Dude, Travis, do not do it. This girl ain't it. Like, do not go there.
It's only going to get worse.
Because there's a clip of her also saying that she wasn't really into him when they first met.
She wasn't.
That's what the clip says. He was going back and referencing this clip. And now, you know, like, everyone's like, hey, look, now all of a sudden you're the Heisman Trophy winner. You're going to be the overall number one pick. But, I mean.
Yeah, and to be clear, that's what I mean by it's only going to get worse for her. If she's worried about him looking at cheerleaders now, it's only going to get worse. Yeah,
marriage. And y'all's girls were not into, well, I guess all three of us. She swiped left on me initially. And I know for a fact y'all's girls were not absolutely into you in the beginning. So there you go.
She was in love with a guy across the street. So
where's he now?
Across the street from wherever that house is that I rescued her from.
Is he married? Kids?
I don't know. I don't keep up with him.
Yeah, right. You don't keep up with him.
I'll have to ask Ivan. That's the whole story.
Why would Ivan know?
That's the whole story. I'll tell you about it during the break. We'll have to figure out if there's a way to tell.
We got a lot of things to talk about during the break.
That's right. Mike McCarthy coming up at 8:40.
Shout out to Dickie V.
Yes.
Dickie V announced yesterday that he is cancer-free.
Awesome.
And this is a wonderful thing. He was diagnosed with laryngeal cancer in July of last year.
And this has come back on him multiple times.
It has.
Jim Valvano timing is perfect.
Absolutely. And he's 85. This is his third cancer bout since July of 23 when he was diagnosed with that. He also said he had melanoma and lymphoma. And he posted on Twitter yesterday afternoon, Santa Claus came early. Dr. Brown called and said my PET scan at 7 a.m. came back clean. Thank you so much for all your prayers. Yes, I'm cutting the nets down, baby.
Yeah.
It's my national championship. This is fantastic. I saw him. I was watching the Jimmy V Classic the other day, and I saw him. I was like, oh, God, because I hadn't seen Dick in a while. And
jeez.
What?
And I get dumped.
He was talking about the coach.
So
just take that. I want to hear that at 9 o'clock.
So I hadn't seen Mr. Vitale in quite a bit on TV, and I was like, oh gosh, like you could tell, like, it took a toll on him. Like he looked a lot different. His voice doesn't have the power.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the same power, but that's to be expected. But tremendous Dickie V. Clear of cancer.
Having him on was a bucket list moment.
Yeah.
Just the energy, everything you thought of. I think we had him on a couple times. Had him through Stump the Schwab, Howie Schwab, rest in peace. So that's great news for Dick Vitale. It's Sean, RJ, and Roberto here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Did Mike McCarthy ever think about coaching college? And what's his reaction to a possible Cowboy threat? Bill Belichick at UNC. Let's preview the Panthers with the head coach of America's team next. It is now time with great intro music for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It is DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning. How you been?
Pretty well. Pretty well. Feels like the month is flying by to Christmas. Does it feel like the same for you?
I don't want to say it's flying by, but yeah.
Different to different people.
It's been busy. So how was your break?
Oh, I'm so honored that you realized I was out. The interview quality just dropped off. It was good. It was good, Coach. I appreciate you asking. I would love to ask you how stunned you are that Bill Belichick is a college head coach now.
I would say I'm stunned because, you know, I just think this, the way our industry has gone, you know, I think that's a little bit of a new frontier, college football. And I'm sure there's definitely some, you know, exciting opportunities. And this sounds like this is one of them. So I wouldn't say I'm stunned, but I mean, I'd state in the obvious, I mean, because the incredible success he's had in the NFL and you know, where he is in his career. But, you know, I'm sure that he obviously put a lot of thought into this and sounds like a great opportunity.
Obviously, your focus is in the pros, but how similar, Coach, do you see college becoming to the NFL now with NIL and everything? Do you think there's a ton of similarities that could make the transition easier?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's definitely closer to the NFL now than it was before. I think that's, you know, that's obvious. And I mean, in you know, pro football and college football always, you know, looked at one another for, you know, for ideas and creativity in certain areas, whether it's scheme, you know, facilities. I mean, I think some of the modern day NFL facilities are aligned with some of these big programs in college football. So, I mean, there's always been, you know, back and forth between college football throughout, but I definitely think it's definitely closer now because of the business model that they're trying to create is going to be in place at the college level.
Coach, you spent a lot of time, you've talked about before the time you spent between Green Bay and Dallas and reflecting all the different, you know, studies that you're doing. Did you ever consider college as a pathway of like, hey, maybe I'd like to get into college?
I did not. You know, and it was, it was really a year, just the year off, and there was just a lot that went on during that year. So, but no, I did not consider college football at that time.
I've been arguing with Bobby about this. I already know you're going to say I'm right. There's a story going around that Bill had this 400-page document or binder for his presentation. He said that's greatly exaggerated, but I was like, I can see a coach going into the job interview with a ton of plans and binders and documents. We know you guys have them all in your film study. I'm sure those are X's and O's. Did you have that when you were sitting down with Jerry and Steven? Did you walk in with some big binder or presentation?
I'm a binder guy. I do believe in the old school way, but it was put in a PowerPoint presentation. So just all the different, you know, pods, departments, you know, how you facilitate, you know, coaching operations tied to training room. But yeah, definitely. So I'm not surprised at all that he had a 400-page binder at all.
Coach, I always think it's silly when I hear like it was like a 5-hour meeting and I'm like, okay, is that it? Like, in, you know,
what do you do for 5 hours?
I'm saying 5 hours isn't enough.
Oh.
And getting to know you knuckleheads, like you're going to sit down and spend all this time. You're going to live with these people and work with these people. You need hours and hours and days. What do you think is a comfortable time span where you're like, okay, I got a good feel for this. I know I can work with these individuals.
To put a time on it, when you look at it, I mean, going in the morning, you know, spending the day and then, you know, having a dinner that night, and if there's any follow up the next morning, I think that's kind of been the norm. And some have been just flying that morning and leave that night. So, you know, ever how much time, you know, that gives you one on one. But there's, you know, everybody does it a little differently. And I think the other part too is you got to realize you're not, you know, the interview process, you know, just doesn't start from the time you arrive at the facility or, you know, step into the meeting and the time you leave. I mean, you know, you're pretty much interviewing, you know, your whole career. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of background and a lot of other conversations that go into those decisions.
Coach, I'm curious, you know, we talk about how the concepts or the two sides are sort of starting to blend a little bit in the NIL era. The last couple of years when you've been at, you know, Indy or you've had guys come through for pre-draft interviews and some of these young players that are coming into the league, have you noticed any difference or evolution in mentality or approach with young players, like the young NIL era players?
I would say they're exposed to more. So, you know, definitely I think there's, you know, there's more, definitely their experience level and with what they're able to engage is definitely different than, you know, to the past generation without a doubt. So, you know, it's a new experience that these young men are going through, you know, prior to the National Football League. And, yeah, so definitely, it's definitely different.
Mike McCarthy joining us here at 105 through the Fan. And I don't want to, like, relive the whole punt thing, but we were having this discussion with Babe Loffenberg yesterday, and he was going back and forth, and he would go back and forth with Jason Garrett about what you do in terms of coaching instincts and reactions out of players. Like, you know, you don't want them to lose the reaction, you don't want them to lose the instinct, but you also want them to play smart. Like, what is your philosophy on that? Like how do you coach instincts out of players? Because, you know, the instinct is ball on the ground, get the ball.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely, it goes further than that. I mean, you don't, you know, there's obviously, you know, instinct, you know, balls on the ground, go get the ball. I mean, that's a responsibility in a lot of situations. I mean, really the instincts and awareness is just to continue to coach the game situations. We spend a tremendous amount of time on those game situations. So, the breakdown is in, you know, the awareness, the heightened awareness that, you know, what the play, you know, situation transferred into it. And it was a tough, you know, it was a tough spot because of, you know, where the, you know, both guys were, you know, they were in a vice situation and they were pretty much, you know, out of bounds and coming back inbounds, you know, with the ball on the ground. So, but yeah, it goes more to the area, you know, the situational, competitive, you know, in competition, competitive situation that changes during plays where, you know, the heightened awareness comes. So you just simulate those situations over and over and over again. You know, that's really what we do on Fridays and Saturdays every week in season and do it every day at training camp. So, and that's, you know, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. And you know, definitely something you just got to always try to recreate.
Are there rules that, you know, coaches don't even bother going over because they just should be so ingrained in the player since like the age of 12?
No, I wouldn't say that. To be honest with you, I think it's like watching video. You have to go over. You need mental reps just as much as you need physical reps. You know, we have a game management segment every week where the whole league is cut up just because we want it to be current. Because, you know, things, you know, our league is about trends and how things, you know, tend to happen in bunches and things like that. So, this is something we do spend a lot of time on. And it's the same thing with the fundamentals, you know, particularly the ball security. You know, when we feel that our numbers and our performance in a certain area of fundamentals isn't as high as we'd like it to be, you know, so that's another segment that's cut up every week and presented into the team meetings. So, you know, there's constant reinforcement on the fundamentals of game situations and the game management.
Coach, the offensive line has played pretty well the last couple of weeks, even with the different players being swapped in and out and some of the shifting you guys have done. Why do you think that group has been able to gel so effectively, even with all the moving parts?
Well, I just got to give those men the credit, and, you know, in the atmosphere and culture that's established in that O-line with, you know, with the coaches. You know, I think, you know, Brock Hoffman deserves, you know, a lot of credit there because, you know, his personality and that's, you know, that's a real strength of his. He's a, you know, he's a connector, you know, he's definitely a glue, you know, a glue personality. So, but it's just, it's like anything when you go through changes, you definitely have to make sure that the communication is heightened, and I think those guys have done a great job of that. So, you know, because when your communication's in line, you play fast, you play free, and that's what that group is doing.
And kind of going hand in hand in that, you know, Rico Dowdle has been fantastic the last several weeks. What are some of the specific traits that you like about Rico as a running back? Just taken from, I mean, he was here as an undrafted free agent your first year in Dallas, has hung around on the roster the entire time to now where he's a lead back. What are the things that you've looked at over these 5 years that said, this is why I've wanted Rico around?
Oh, well, I mean, his first impression, clearly it's his run style. I mean, you know, Rico is has such an aggressive, you know, run style, and that's the, you know, that was the first impression of him. I mean, the first time he touched the ball, he scored a touchdown on kickoff. So, I mean, I love the way he attacks the defense when he's running the football. And, you know, he's very bright, has a very high understanding of the game, you know, understands, you know, run blocking, the protection part of it. And, you know, he's played quarterback in high school, so, you know, he has a high football IQ, but he's just a really good football player that, you know, had to go through some injury challenges his first couple of years, and it's been great to see him have this success.
Mike McCarthy on the D&M Leasing Hotline every single Friday at this time here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Coach, it seems like Bryce Young has turned a little bit of a corner here after a ton of questions about his status as the number one pick. What have you seen recently from Bryce on tape?
I think he's really playing in a good rhythm, you know, in the pass game. But I think the biggest thing is extended plays. You know, the scramble, he's done a really good job in the playmaking. You know, I mean, he pretty much almost won the Philadelphia game, you know, himself there in that last series, you know, the fourth down conversion, and also had a chance to make a big play that came up short. But it's been real, really impressive with his poise and the way he's, maximizing each snap in the passing game.
You know, you mentioned poise. Like, when he was in college, I mean, it looked like he never sped up. Like, he was always under control. And in the beginning of his NFL career, it looked like the game was a little fast. Have you seen that has kind of slowed down for him?
Man, that's a hell of an observation by you.
Oh, thank you.
He must have played well in that Tennessee game. But
He did.
Sorry about that. I agree. No, I agree with you. I think he that was always a real strength of his, and you know, it seems like he's comfortable in this offensive system. And, you know, fairness to him, he's had change, you know, his whole time there, and that's always tough on a young quarterback. But yes, he seems very, very poised, and he's playing with a different flow clearly this year than last year.
Coach, when you have a player like Jonathan Mingo who's going back against his former team for the first time, do you during the week just, you know, have a moment where you pull him aside and just have a conversation, just check in like, hey, where are your emotions at? Where's your focus at? Do you have those type of talks when guys are going back to a former team the first time?
Yeah, definitely. Usually it's not a big deal. But, you know, and also that's something that, you know, usually comes out of the position coaches conversations earlier and so forth. But yeah, Jonathan's a pretty even keeled personality, so I really don't have any concern of him going back to Carolina.
Coach, are you satisfied with what you've gotten out of him so far, and where is he in his development with you guys?
Yeah, he's definitely what you thought that he was, you know, physically, but it's just like any player. I mean, getting traded at that time, you know, that late, and in jumping in, it's definitely going to be an adjustment, and he's getting more and more comfortable each week.
It's good to be back with you, Coach. I missed you. Thank you for the time, as always. Have a great day, and we'll see you on Sunday. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
Mike McCarthy, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Do you want to win some football money this weekend? And we have breaking Longhorn quarterback news. Final hour of the week with Sean, RJ, and Roberto is next.